And I found Jesus, he was holding on to me. I was broken and couldn't stand on my own 2 feet. He said a word and broke my chains. I was free to breathe again. My life was saved by the love and blood of Jesus. When I found Jesus, he was standing over me. I was down and out and living on the streets. And there were times I could have died, sure, but the Lord was by my side. I didn't know it then, but I've been saved by the blood of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this hour or so that you give us to join together, to study your word, to go over scriptures, Lord Father God, and to reason from the scriptures, Lord Father God, to reason from the scriptures, for you are the word. You became flesh, Lord Father God. You are the word, Lord. And so, Lord Father God, we just ask you in this hour or so, please guide me, Lord. Give me wise words to speak. Give me words, Lord Father God, and open up the eyes and ears of anybody who's listening now or may be listening later. Just open up their eyes, Lord. If they have the veils over their eyes, they do not understand these things. I pray, Lord, that they would, Lord Father God. And I pray for anybody who doesn't believe in the Lord, maybe that are drawn, something is going on. I pray that you draw their hearts unto you, that they would receive you as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Draw their hearts unto you, Lord. And I just pray for those, Lord Father God, that would come to you, Lord Father God, in faith. And so once again, Lord, please give me words to speak, wisdom, wise words to speak, as we begin this chapter of your beloved Luke, as you walked with him, Lord, as you talked with him, Paul and all the disciples, as you taught, you were here on earth, you dwelt among us, Lord Father God. So it is so powerful. So just thank you, Lord, guide my words. And we pray all these things in your mighty name, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord God and Savior, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We pray in your name. Thank you, Lord Father God, for this time. Amen and amen. All right, so here we go. Luke chapter 2. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Here we go. Let me get to the right screen here. All right, chapter 2 of Luke, the birth of Jesus. Okay, let me get to the right screen here. All right, it says Luke chapter 2, the birth of Jesus, Yeshua in the Hebrew. Okay, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So everybody had to go to their own town. This is maybe one of the reasons why it was crowded, along with the festivals were going on, the feast. Okay, we'll get to that. So it says in verse 4, it says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. It's so powerful. He belonged to the royal line of David, okay? Because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, one of the indications that these feasts, these festivals were going on, and also the census, you know, because it was so full, there was no guest room available when usually there would be, right? So in other words, it caused them to go into the manger, okay? And that's where our beloved Yeshua was born, okay? In a manger, okay? And so so humble. It's just a beautiful picture of how our Savior was born, okay? And so no fanciness, no nothing, but in a stall. Actually, there was animals all around in that manger, okay? So there was no room in the guest room, okay? So I did make a comment here. I said, once again, most likely there was no room at the inn because the annual feast days of our Lord, see Leviticus chapter 23, were on these days, okay? We know this because he was born in September. September on the Gregorian calendar. Remember, they didn't have these months, okay? Or they might have started having these months, but in other words, it was always the Lord's calendar, okay? So we know he was born on these days in maybe late October, early September, being that that's his birth date, okay? And also it falls in line with the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So right here, this is why it's so important to align ourselves with the biblical Hebrew calendar, okay? It's not Israel's calendar, it's God's calendar, and we must align ourselves when it comes to events, okay? When it comes to events that are biblical, okay, like the Passover, like the resurrection, okay, and the coming fall feast, which are prophetic, okay, we must align ourselves with these holy days. And not only that, is because they've been going on for so long and they came out of the mouth of our Lord, okay? It wasn't invented by anybody else. The Jews didn't invent these days. It's our Lord, and we are one in Yeshua, okay? Jews and Gentiles that have been, Gentiles been grafted in, we are one, okay? And the Lord is one. We should be also meeting on these holy days, okay? So this is what was going on at that time. I put here, it was the feast of the first one, and you got to understand, they would come from all over. This wasn't a new thing, okay? These feast of the Lord that you could find in Leviticus chapter 23 wasn't a new thing, okay? They've been going on for quite some time. Abraham, Noah, all the way back, the Lord has always commanded them to gather on these days, okay? These holy days by him, okay? But they were actually written down on Mount Sinai with Moses, okay? In Leviticus chapter 23, you can find these feasts, okay? I can't express it enough, okay? The Lord meets with us on these days, okay? On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven, okay? So he meets with us on these divinely appointed days. So this is why there were so many rooms. So once again, I put here, once again, most likely there was no room at the inn because the annual feast of our Lord, okay? So first of all, we have the Feast of Trumpets, which you say also is Rosh Hashanah. It's the new year. It's the Feast of Trumpets. It's actually the fall feast, okay, that began in late October, early September on your Gregorian calendar. And also it starts on Tishri 1 on God's calendar, okay? So very important, the Feast of Trumpets. It doesn't change on God's calendar. Rosh Hashanah is actually the new civil year celebration. So in other words, from the creation calendar or Genesis calendar, it starts from Adam and Eve, okay? From the beginning, there is a count, okay? There is a count, okay? 5,783, that just passed, okay? That is the new year. That's on the Genesis calendar, or some would like to call it the creation calendar, God's calendar from Adam, okay, which starts on, this is the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, which starts on Tishri 1, okay, Tishri 1, or on your Gregorian calendar, mark it down, September 26th, okay, so we know September, okay, 26th, around there, he was born in September, so we know that these feasts were going on, and they were gathering from all over the place to make pilgrimage, okay? In other words, they would go and gather to, and they still do it today. They still do it today. For Sukkot, you'll see Israel. It is full, jam-packed, I'm talking Jews and Gentiles. I'm talking about believers from all over the place go to Israel today on these feast days, okay? And it's not only the Jews. We got so many believers, brothers and sisters that make Aliyah. They not Aliyah, but they go to the Holy Land to pilgrimage. You know, that's one of my dreams to be able to do that. Okay, and so it's one in Yeshua. Remember this, okay? So the Feast of Trumpets was going on. Rosh Hashanah also in this time. This is all October, September. Okay, late October, September. Okay, so Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. So September going to October 5th, okay, on your Gregorian calendar. Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, is another holy day of the Lord, as we can see in Leviticus chapter 23. And that begins on 10 Tishri, okay? Now, I'm not going to get too much into detail as far as the eve, okay, at sunset, the night before is actually when it starts. But this is the actual day, okay? So it says Tish on 10 Tishri, October 5th, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, okay, pertain to also, remember, it's all prophetic. These are the fall feasts that the Lord has not yet fulfilled, but he will, just like the spring feast. So very important to get connected to this. So Sukkot, okay, is the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? So this is when they said pretty much they think he was born. Like I said, this is early October, late September. Actually, we go by the calendar of God, okay? So much difference. Sukkot or Feast of Tabernacles starts on Tishri 15, okay, through the 22nd. Now, they say it's 7 days, but there's a great eighth day, okay? And it's so amazing because the Lord taught on that day, the great day, which is the eighth day, okay? And there's so much more implications to that. But that, you know, I got a video on that. It's just amazing. The new heavens and new earth. We'll get into that a little bit, okay? But I just wanted to get the point across of what was going on in these days, okay? Setting the scene, okay? I'm setting the scene of what was going on at that moment. You could just imagine how many people were there, okay? So how many believers were there gathered together, okay? So that's Tishri starts on the 15th to the 22nd, the eighth day, October 10th to the 17th. So actually we passed all these. Okay. I celebrated these feasts myself and it was just amazing. Okay. So I just wanted to set the picture there because of what it says right here. It says, because there was no guest room available for them. Okay. So there was just, it was jam packed. Okay. Just like Israel gets today on the feast days. Right. All right. So we'll continue verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So he told the shepherds out of all persons, right? Just the shepherd, the regular shepherd, the one that took care of the flocks, okay? They just told, the angels told them, confirmed it with them. No, he didn't show up to a king or anything else. Shepherds, okay? It's so much humility here, right? And so I made a note here. It says, the first in many places in the scriptures, where our Lord was prophesied and foretold to be born to us, okay? And so there's scripture before this, okay, that pointed towards the coming Messiah, okay? The coming Messiah, that one would be born, a redemptive, and to redeem us of our sins, to forgive us of our sins, to make the way. There's always been a Messiah all the way back to Genesis 3:15. So I put the first in many places in scriptures where our Lord was prophesied and foretold to be born to us. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, Israel, and between your seed, Ishmael, and her seed, Israel. He, Yeshua, will crush your head, and you, devil, will strike his heel, okay? I added the parentheses there, but this is the first prophetic, okay? Speaking of our Lord Yeshua, did he name him by name? But we know who's going to crush the enemy's head, okay? Ultimately, it will be after the thousand-year millennial reign, okay? That is just scripture, okay? It's real. In other words, some places it says he will bruise your heel because, yes, there was victory on the cross, but the total annihilation is after the thousand-year millennial reign here on earth. He is to be let loose for a while. And this is scripture, okay? He is to be let loose for a while, it says, okay? Satan, okay? The serpent, okay? Which we're speaking of in Genesis 3:15. So the ultimate crushing is going to happen then, okay? When they come up against the holy city. And you can read this in Revelation chapter 21, around there. You can read it where he's let loose for a little while, okay? And he comes against the holy city, and then the Lord crushes him for good, okay? And so I some scripture said bruised, okay? So I like it when it says bruised because, in other words, ultimately he will be crushed, okay? So it says, and I will put enmity, but this is the first prophetic message concerning Yeshua, concerning our Savior, okay? So it says, he, Yeshua, will crush your head, and you, devil, will strike his heel. Isaiah 42, 1 through 7. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Boy, don't we need that now, right? Don't we need that now? There's so much going on, okay? It says, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. And some say this has happened already, but there's no justice right now. So it couldn't be. Some say this has already happened, that there's a spiritual kingdom and the finality was on the cross and that's it. No, then that's very sad because we're still living in a world without justice, without God's justice. So that in itself, it should just, those who believe that way, that he's not returning, he already came and the finality was on the cross. No, he's returning back, okay, to this earth, okay? And there's so many scriptures that indicate this literally, okay? So in verse 4, it says, he will not grow weak or discouraged before he has established justice. Where? On earth. Before he has established justice on earth, okay? So yes, did he go to the cross? Yes, did he make the way for us? Yes, he did. But he's going to return. He's going to crush, he's going to take out, he's going to judge the nations, okay? Because you can see for yourself what's going on in our governments right now. So he's going to put that all in order. He's going to establish his justice, okay? It says, in his law, here we go, he will not grow weak or discouraged before he has established justice on the earth. In his law, and I made it pointing to in his law, it still stands, okay? The islands will put their hope. In his law, the islands will put their hope, okay? So you could find that in Isaiah 42, 1 through 7. Then we go to Isaiah 49, 1 through 4. It says, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. He hid me in the shadow of his hand. He made me like a polished arrow. He hid me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my glory. So when he returns, guess what he's going to do? He's going to display his glory. You understand? When he comes in the clouds, he's going to come. He's going to display his glory in Israel. He's going to display his glory. Amen. So once again, he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my glory. Amen. He did it once. He's coming back. He displayed his glory, and look what they did to him, right? They didn't understand. We'll get into that a little more in the scripture here. So it says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. Wasn't only an angel. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. Can you imagine the scene here? It wasn't just one angel. It was a great company of the heavenly host, very powerful, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. So they were glorifying him. The angels, all the great company of the heavenly host, were glorifying him. Because what? Because it came to pass. He was born. God Almighty took on flesh. The Word became flesh, and he was born. And the heavenly host understood this. The day came. The day came. Amen. And so it says, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, so they went back. They went back into the heavens. Amen. But they were allowed to come onto this earth. Can you imagine the scenery? When just looking up in the sky and seeing the great heavenly host in the sky, it must have been so dramatic. It's like, wow. It says, when the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they were given the heads up. And I put right here just a fun fact, okay? A fun fact. In Spanish, okay, the translation of the word shepherds or shepherd is pastores, okay? That's what it is, pastores, okay? That's where we get the word pasture from, okay? Pastores in Spanish, okay? In the Latin or Spanish means shepherds, okay? So just a fun fact, if you didn't know that, this is where we get the word pastor or pastors, okay? So I thought that would be a fun fact if you didn't know. So it says, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about. So they were told, and now they're going to go and listen and say, they told him where he was at, in that manger. Okay, they told him, go over there. This is confirmation, okay? This is the angels gave it to the shepherds so they could confirm and tell others, no, we saw the angels. They told us. This is confirmation that he is the Messiah. He is the coming one, right? And there's others that testified to this. We're going to be reading this right now. It says, verse 16, it says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, right? So they found them exactly where the angels told them, right? And the baby, okay? And the baby who was lying in the manger. Wow. Wow. Who was lying in the manger. He was a little baby. And it, pro-life, okay? Pro-life, that's what came to my mind right now. The Lord was a baby at a point. And they're doing a lot of bad things to little babies, right? The creator of the universe became a little baby. And they're trying to say that's not life. Who was lying in the manger. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. There it is there. Why did the angels go to them? They spread the word. There it is there, okay? So there's a reason why the angels went to them. The honest, humble shepherds went around telling everyone, this is him. says, concerning what had been told to them about this child. I made another comment here. So the shepherds were the first to know and share the good news of our Savior, salvation, Yeshua Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. They were the first ones, okay? The shepherds, okay? He had been prophesied, and others knew about him because of the prophets, Isaiah, and so many others that actually prophesied that there was going to be a coming one, right? And so, but they were literally the first ones to be told and given testimony because of that reason. So they would tell others and confirm this, right? That he's here. What a blessing. Verse 18, it says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Can you imagine to be there once again and the heavenly host, not just one angel, they all appeared to them. It must have lit up the sky. I mean, wow. It says, which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And look at this, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Yeshua. He was named actually Yeshua, not Jesus, because Jesus wasn't a name then in the Hebrew. That's why I put a commentary here. The original Hebrew name of our Lord is Yeshua. Okay, so this is the name that he was given to at birth. I know so many go in to say that we cannot use that name because it's whatever. No, I'm not saying that. Jesus is fine, okay, because it was broken down, translated, okay? But it's so easy to say his original Hebrew name. So easy. It's not hard to say Yeshua. It's not hard. And that was his given name. It was not Jesus. It was Yeshua. Amen. So it's not hard to say it, but I like saying both. It's okay. We know who we're talking about, right? So it says on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child. Now, once again, circumcision on the eighth day, it was something, a law of God, okay? And it's still valid today. Still valid today. They still circumcise, okay? They still circumcise on the eighth day. So beautiful, right? So beautiful. Does it save you? No, it does not save you, okay? But it is a law of God. It's an instruction of God, amen? And so I made a comment here. It says, also the fact the eighth day symbolizes the new heavens and the new earth, right? I don't know, maybe those out there don't understand this, but we know the seventh day is actually Shabbat. Well, let me just get into this, right? It says, also fact, the eighth day symbolizes new heavens, new earth. After the seventh day, which is the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, okay? 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ when he comes back to this earth is the seventh day, okay? So I go to this. I've gone to this before. And if you're not aware of it, go to 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 8. It says, Peter says, but do not overlook this one fact. Now, you got to understand, well, duh, Peter was in communication with Yeshua, right? It was a disciple of his. So Yeshua was confirming everything to Peter. Okay, so the creator of all the earth took on flesh, the word became flesh, and he was communicating to the disciples. So we got to look at these scriptures and say, wow, well, Peter, obviously he said this for a reason, because the Lord gave him confirmation, as well as Paul, as well as Luke, as well as all the disciples, Mark, Matthew, okay? So 2 Peter 3:8 says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And we have another scripture that also confirms this in Psalm 90. Verse 4, it says, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night, meaning one day, okay, is as if 1,000. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 3, the seventh day, 1,000-year kingdom reign of Christ, Jesus on the earth. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the abyss, holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon. Okay, did he crush him? No, he seized him. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan. Now, so many believe the cross, it's final. It happened on the cross. There was total victory. No, there was not total victory. There was partial victory. Okay, there was partial. Yes, a big thing. The Lord made the way when he went to the cross. Yes. Was he bruised? Is he still around right now as we speak? Can the devil come back and forth? Yes, he has permission still to go back and forth, okay, from heaven to earth. He still has passage, okay? He's not gone. So it says right here, but when the Lord returns, he's going to seize the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him. He's going to bind him, okay? He's going to lock him in chains like he did the other angels, those angels that are under the Euphrates River over there, right? He cast them down, he bound them, because there is other fallen ones that fell with the devil, right? So it says, and bound him for 1,000 years, so he's bound. He's going to be chained, okay? And he threw him into the abyss, shut it, and sealed it over him so that he could not deceive the nations until the 1,000 years were complete, okay? After that, he must be released for a brief period of time. You could find that in Revelation 21 through 3, okay? So that's when he's going to be crushed, okay? Finality, okay? So for right now, when he returns, it says he's going to be sealed over, cannot deceive the nations. What a blessing. He's not going to be able to deceive the nations any longer, like the nations are being deceived right now as we speak. So it says a new heaven and a new earth, the great eighth day, okay? I put here, Yeshua taught on this day. Yes, he did. We're going to be getting into these scriptures. The great eighth day. If you don't believe in the holy days, well, guess when Jesus taught? He taught on the great eighth day. Yeshua taught on this day, okay, of Sukkot, okay? It's the great eighth day is the eighth day we were mentioning earlier. It's the eighth day after the 7 days of Sukkot, what we just got through celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, if you're more used to, or the Feast of Tents, okay, the seventh day, and on the eighth day, there's an eighth day, okay, that the Torah, I believe, is read, or it's just a beautiful thing on that day. So Yeshua actually taught on that day. Why? Because he confirmed that great eighth day, the new heavens and new earth. It's all prophetic, okay? So we could go to that scripture now. So let's go to that scripture now, because I want to go ahead, and that's why I am doing this series in Luke, to also say that these holy days are not gone at all. We should all be celebrating them, right? So I'm going to go there right now. It's in John chapter 7, okay? So here we go. Yeshua, or Jesus, goes to the Festival of Tabernacles, okay? You have to understand that everybody in town would go to these feasts. They would come from all over, and there's never been a change since then. There's so many have been disconnected, so many churches, so many teachers, okay, have been disconnected, okay, from these ways, okay, so many, so very many. It's I can't describe how it feels when so many do not do these things that the Lord it commanded us to do, and they're so beautiful, right? So I'm going to just leave it there, because the Lord himself goes to the Festival of Tabernacles. So we know he was going to his father's divine holy set apart days. You can find him in Leviticus 23. It says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea, because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. It says, no one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival because my time has not yet fully come. So right there, everybody's like, oh, see, he didn't go to the festival. Wait a minute here. You got to read it in the context. Always says, I am not going up to this festival because my time has not fully come. Okay. After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, you got to go on. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, okay, not publicly, but in secret, because he knew that what they wanted to kill him. Okay, they wanted to kill him. So it says, however, and this festival is about him, right? It's just so amazing. This festival is about him. Okay, it says, not publicly, but in secret, he went. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? They wanted to get him. He knows all things. He sees all things. You don't think he knew what they wanted to do? They wanted to kill him. He's not going to go there. It wasn't his time yet, he said. It wasn't his time yet, okay? There was going to be a time for it. The Passover. That's another feast. Very important. The Passover. That's when it was going to be his time, okay? So it says, now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he is a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for the fear of the leaders, right? They're all in fear of the leaders, right? Those bad apples, I call them. So what does he do? Jesus teaches at the festival. This is the great eighth day, right? The great day. It says, not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. So he's in the temple courts now, and he begins to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Okay, they didn't know that he was actually in the synagogues at age 12, right? He was just a kid, right? But they didn't know him and the Father are one. So it's just, it was just blowing their minds how much he knew, right? Says the Jews there were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having been taught? Jesus answered, here it is here. Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the way back, Leviticus, the God of Moses, okay? He's telling them, it comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own, because it's already written in the laws of Moses. Remember, Abraham followed his ways and his instructions. So he's telling them, anybody who knows the will of God, knows the Torah, knows the prophets, will know that my teaching doesn't come from me. It is established. He's making this point here. It says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God, that's his instructions, right? Will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And they tested him. According to the scriptures, they tested him according to the Torah over and over and over. They were testing him, right? Says, whoever speaks on their own, verse 18, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. This is why I like communicating God's word, not my own word. If I want to make an opinion, I'll tell you that's my opinion, but I always love to share the gospel through the prophets, through just him speaking. So very important. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses, here we go, has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? And this is what I'm trying to say. The law is one package deal. It's not separated. He did not remove anything. He did not change anything. And that scripture that says he did not come to abolish the law, that should do it for every pastor, teacher out there. That should do it when Yeshua said this out of his own mouth, until it goes out and sets out and completes what it was meant for. Not one jot, not one tittle will be removed or changed. Not one. Amen. So it says right here, has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Because the Pharisees were not keeping the law. They were misusing his law, right? So right here, confirmation. Then what did they do to him? You are demon possessed, they told him. Oh, wow. Wow. You are demon possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Who is trying to kill you? They said. Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you were all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, all the way back. You circumcise a boy on the Sabbath, which is okay, right? Yes. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? It's okay to do good on the Sabbath, but they didn't see it like this. They were adding laws. They were adding rules to the Sabbath. And he was reprimanding them, okay? And he did it on purpose. He did it on purpose. He healed on the Sabbath for a reason, okay? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. You got to understand that. So 24, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. And we got to take this into consideration in today and in the churches today. We got to take this into consideration in love, okay? But just very vital, because he was, what is he doing? He's reprimanding them, okay? For adding false doctrines, for adding these things, just so much. So amen and amen. So let's go back now. All right, let's go back here before I lose my place right here in Luke. On the eighth day, so this is where we took it from. And so at the very end here, and so if you want to go back to those scriptures, check it out for yourself. It was the last day of Sukkot, okay? Last day of Sukkot. That's the festival that was going on, what we just read. It was the festival of Sukkot. So he did show up to these festivals. He's the one that gave the commandment in Leviticus 23. It all falls into place. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So much beauty here. Because this is the new heavens. This is after the thousand-year millennial reign. This is the great eighth day. This is eternal. This is the new heaven and new earth. Amen and amen. The great eighth day. There's so much more I could get into this, but that's for another teaching. How so much it connects, this eighth day, on that day, how so many scriptures connect with this great day. Amen. So on the eighth day, when the time was to circumcise the child, we already went through this. His name was Yeshua, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. The angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, once again, this is all good. This is all good. There was purification rites required by the law of Moses. Once again, it's God's law. It says Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem. I want to make a point here because they were following God's laws. There's nothing different today. We should be following God's instructions. They're a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing. They're not bad like everybody's put them out to be. They're not bad. Nothing's wrong with them. And there's not just 10. There's not just two. Okay. There are a set of instructions. Okay. So it says purification rites required by the law of Moses. Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So they were following his laws. Okay. Joseph and Mary, they knew the laws. They knew their instructions. Okay. So they went there and they were going to do this. So, and this is the creator of the universe, right? He became flesh. And so they were following. And Yeshua confirmed it. Yes, it's good, right? He was just a baby, but he knew, right? Right. I mean, God, the Father knew. So anyhow, verse 23, once again, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. This is valid. This is still going on. This is what it should be. Okay. It says, so I put right here, staying in obedience to the laws of God. What do you think obedience is? There has to be something to be obedient to, right? There has to be. Okay. If he says repent, you got to repent from what? And turn towards what? Okay, there has to be a set of instructions to be obedient to, right? So it says, staying in obedience to the laws of God. Amen and amen. Mary and Joseph. Genesis 17, 9 through 14. Here we find it. Here we find it. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you must be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old, there we go again with the eight, 8 days old, must be circumcised. Now, you understand the 8th day, the new heavens, the new earth, us partaking in that great day of the new heavens and new earth, that 8th day. Okay, there's symbolism here, but yes, it is going to happen. Okay, on that 8th day, you are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Also, we speak of circumcision of the heart. But this is also a law. It's still established. It still must happen. Amen. Verse 12, for the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner. Those who are not your offspring. Here we go. Those who are not your offspring, Jews, Gentiles, they were also to be circumcised, right? We could see it here. It's always been that way. His mercy extends to everyone, okay? The foreigner, the stranger, those who were not native-born Israelites, those who were with the Israelites, it pertained to them also. There's so many scriptures. One of them being Numbers, I believe it's 14, 15, right? I believe, don't mark my words. I think I just misquoted, but it's in Numbers, right? It says, those who are not your offspring, verse 13, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now, this is where we get to also circumcision of the heart. The only way, it's a heart problem, and the Lord puts his Holy Spirit in our hearts. That is being circumcised in the heart. But it's also a law to physically be circumcised. Does it save you? Like I said before, no. Does baptism save you? No. It's an outward expression of what you're doing, and you're showing yourself as a child of God. After you have come to faith, coming to faith is what saves you. You are to be circumcised if you're a child. Your baby is to be dedicated, circumcised unto the Lord, right? It's just an expression, but the circumcision happens in the heart. That's being born again. That is true circumcision, is being born again. Now, if you're a male and you're not born again and you're not circumcised, will you go to hell or what? No. But it should be in your heart to follow the Lord's commandments. And if it's your choice to do this as an older male, okay, then you can do it. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? You're honoring God's instruction, because it is God's instruction, amen? So it says, any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. In other words, circumcision of the heart is the saving faith that saves you. Okay, you're circumcised in the heart. You became a believer. That's what saves you. Okay, you've been circumcised. But if you haven't, then you're not a believer and you will be cut off, right? Amen. Amen. I hope that made sense. I hope that made sense. So let's go ahead and continue here. It says, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Once again, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. You have to realize that they were still sacrificing. They were still sacrificing. He hadn't gone to the cross yet, where he is our high priest. No more sacrifices, right? So amen and amen. But it was still going on in these days. You better believe it. But then he gave himself up as the perfect Lamb of God, right? The final sacrifice. He is our high priest. And we now offer our lives as a sacrifice unto him. Our lives, okay? In obedience. This is that sweet smelling aroma in our hearts, in obedience. If we love him, we would follow his commandments, right? So if you're following his ways and his commandments, then you are a living sacrifice. And the aroma goes unto his nostrils as high priest, okay? And he finds favor in you. So very important. So right here, verse 25 says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. How many of you know what the consolation of Israel is? I didn't know. Okay, I didn't know. And I looked it up. So many times we just read through these gospels and we don't actually start just investigating, right? We just, the consolation of Israel. Okay. And then you just keep on reading. Well, I found out what the consolation of Israel is. Okay. And actually it's very simple. So there was a man called Simeon. Okay. They don't really know. Well, I'll let you know right here. I wrote a comment on there. Okay. It says the consolation of Israel was the coming of the Messiah. Those who knew the scriptures were waiting for the Messiah, right? And those unbelieving Jews today are still waiting for the Messiah, right? And just in a wrong way, but yeah, anyhow, we won't get into that now. But the consolation of Israel was the coming of the Messiah, the Lord's anointed, okay? Matthew 1:1. This phrase was part of a familiar Jewish prayer formula. May I see the consolation of Israel, meaning may I live to see the Messiah. This was the dream of every child of God, okay? And actually, it's our dream too, right? So we are living, and also, may I see the consolation of Israel, because we're waiting for his return. So may I see the consolation of Israel, because we were not living, but by faith we believe, okay? And we're blessed because of it, okay? They seen him come the first time. So right now, we believe, and we're blessed because we believe without seeing, right? But we believe and we're waiting for the consolation. We're waiting for Messiah to return, right? And because this is what all the prophecies are foretold. He's coming back in full glory, right? So may I see the consolation of Israel, meaning may I live to see the Messiah. This was the dream of every child of God, okay? So this is what was going on back then. So Simeon, but there's more to this. Let me go ahead and read this right here. Bear with me. It says this episode of Simeon and his inspired hymn. Okay. It was a hymn. Okay. It was a song. Okay. It says verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's the clincher right there. That's the key right there. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Many expositors have believed that this Simeon was identical to Shimeon, the son of the famous Hillel and the father of Gamaliel. This Simeon became president of the Sanhedrin in AD. Strangely enough, the Mishnah, which preserves a record of the sayings and works of the great rabbis, passed by this Simeon. In other words, they passed right by this person, Simeon, right? The curious silence of the Mishnah here was perhaps owing to the hatred that this famous teacher incurred because of his belief in Yeshua. You got to understand, these Pharisees hated Yeshua. They killed him, the religious leaders, right? So to believe in this Yeshua that was born and say, this is the Messiah, well, maybe this is why he was silenced by the rabbis, right? Because they didn't believe those bad apples, right? It says the curious silence of the Mishnah here was perhaps owing to the hatred that this famous teacher incurred because of his belief in Yeshua of Nazareth. Such an identification, although interesting, it's interesting, and I'm just saying this as this is opinion, okay? Opinion, once again, opinion. Okay, although interesting, however, very precarious. The name Simeon being so very common among the people, it was very common, Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Many understood and were waiting. There was a general feeling among the more earnest Jews at this time that the advent of Messiah would not be long delayed. Joseph of Arimathea is especially mentioned as one who waited for the kingdom of God. You can find that in Mark 15:43. Dr. Farrar refers to the common Jewish prayer formula, then we'll use, may I see the consolation of Israel. A prayer for the advent of Messiah was in daily use, okay? So there it is there. So Simeon, they don't really know who he was, but that's just some writings by the Mishnah, okay? They made some comments there. So many things that are tried to be interpreted, but we stick by the word of God. So we just know him as Simeon, and he was filled by the Holy Spirit. That's the clincher. Like I said earlier, that is the clincher. Why do I say that? Because once again, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, we read that in the last chapter, and she knew, before she even mentioned it, she knew who was in Mary's womb. Okay, she knew. The Holy Spirit confirms through these, okay, confirms, testifies. The Holy Spirit testifies and confirms that this is Messiah here. And he did it with several. He did it with Zechariah. He did it with the angel, did it with Zechariah, Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was testifying, okay? The angels with the shepherds, right? Testifying, okay? So, and the Holy Spirit, this is the key. That's why I said it could be any Simeon. It doesn't necessarily have to be any, but he knew the scriptures and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, right? He was waiting for the advent of Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was on him, okay? Meaning he gave him confirmation. Okay, it says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. There it is there, scripture. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So the Holy Spirit had told him, you're going to see him because I need you as a witness. Okay, because so many are not going to believe. So many, it's just going to go over their heads. Right. And so many didn't believe that he was Messiah, especially the religious leaders that were all puffed up. That's what they were. They were puffed up and they didn't want to lose the good thing they had going. Right. They were becoming rich on them. Right. And they were just puffed up. They didn't want to believe it. They didn't want this to be true. OK, so they were blinded. They didn't see it because of that fact. But this Simeon had the Holy Spirit, says you're going to see Messiah. And when he came, check this out. We already went there. Oh, no, I put right here, the Spirit of Yahweh bears witness. The Spirit of Yahweh bears witness, okay? So it says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, Yeshua, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. You know how powerful that is? The Holy Spirit says, this is the one. First, he says, you're not going to die until this day comes, until you will see Messiah. And then he confirms it. Yes, this is Messiah, right? Oh, so powerful. Simeon took him in his arms. You could just picture it in your mind. And praise God. He took little baby Yeshua in his arms. It says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. Oh my goodness, so powerful. You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel, Jews and Gentiles, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was about. It says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary and his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Okay, so he did not come. It says this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And that's exactly what happened. Remember, the Lord says, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Remember this. He didn't promise us a rose garden. We come against evil. We come against others that oppose us. We even come against churches, which is so sad. It's so very sad that you see the brethren arguing with each other, that you see two different churches almost like, and they're arguing amongst each other about God's ways, about God's holy days, and they're rebelling. It shouldn't be this way. We should be in unity, and that's what the Lord has placed on my heart. In love, we should be in unity, and let the scriptures speak for themselves. Amen. Reason from the scriptures. Reason from the scriptures. And don't let no hierarchy tell you otherwise. Pray for them. Pray that they would touch their hearts to reveal, to remove the veil off their eyes. Amen. So it says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also, this is confirmation after confirmation, right? Because so many believe, even today, so many believe, no, he wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't born. No, there was actually confirmation. There was also a prophet. Her name was Anna. Anna the prophet, okay? Very seldom is there a prophet, a woman, right? But this is powerful because there's so many women today that are on fire, right? The Lord uses women. And for some reason, he just uses them, and powerfully too, right? It says, there was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel and the tribe of Asher. Okay, she came from the tribe of Asher. She was old already. She was surviving from the tribe of Asher, right? It says the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84 years old. She never left the temple. Talk about dedication. She never left the temple. She was a prophetess, okay? She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day. Can you imagine? Fasting and praying, coming up to them at that very moment. So her life was total devotion to the Lord, total, because she knew. Remember, she was a prophet. She knew all the scriptures of what Isaiah spoke. She knew. So up to them at that very moment, she walked up to them at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. They were all looking forward to this. A lot of them were let down when he went to the cross because they didn't understand fully what he came to do at that moment. It's to take upon all the curses of all the transgressing of his laws upon himself for bringing redemption to his bride Israel, forgiving them of their sins if they would only believe in him as Savior. All the transgressions against his ways and his laws, he was establishing them and redeeming them. But many didn't understand when he went to the cross. They didn't understand this. It had to have been. It was spoken of ever since the beginning of the foundation of the earth, the lamb that would be slain, Passover. So she gave thanks to Elohim. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And I put right here, Simeon and Anna, the prophet, were aware that indeed this was the one that was prophesied long ago, our beloved Savior, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. This was the one. Confirmation. They were aware of it. Why? Because they knew the scriptures and they were filled with the Holy Spirit that gave them understanding of the Torah and the prophets. This is why it's the new covenant is so powerful. It lifts the veil off our eyes to see the truth of his instructions, his moed, his divinely appointed days. And we must all get on that same page. We must all get on God's page, God's calendar. We must all get on that page in love, in unity. That's the powerful message I got to all churches, to get on the same page. This is what he wants today. And it is happening today. If you don't realize it, check it out for yourself. So many believers are coming to this knowledge and coming and receiving this and changing. They're changing their ways. They're following God's ways. Amen. So it says right here, when in verse 39, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, we should be no different than Joseph and Mary. We should be no different than Paul. We should be no different than Luke. We should be no different than all the Mark, Matthew, Mark, John, all the disciples. We should be no different than Yeshua himself, which said, imitate me, follow my ways. And what are his ways? We know this, what he spoke to Moses. We know his ways. So Mary and Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord. They returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Verse 41, every year Yeshua's parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Once again, the festival of the Passover. We should celebrate the spring feast, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, then Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. We should all celebrate this. Amen. Every year, Jesus' parents, they did. This is why I'm pointing this out in the Gospel of Luke. This is why I said it's going to be different. I'm pointing these things out for a reason. Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem. It was a common thing for them to worship on these holidays. They didn't need to be taught to do this. They didn't need to be taught. This was a common thing throughout the year. It was a common thing. And now Yeshua, their parents, they were taken at the Feast of Passover. He was the Passover lamb. Do you understand the implications here? He was just a child. And he was the Lamb of God that was going to be slain, the Passover. Also in Exodus, the lamb that was slain and the blood wiped on the doorpost. This was that child. This was that unblemished lamb. And they were taking him to the festival of the Passover. The implications are ginormous, and everybody should understand these things. We still celebrate the Spink Feast for a reason. Amen. So I put right here, the Lord honored Joseph and Mary for their faith and obedience to the ways, laws, and appointed holy days, the Moedim of our Lord. Leviticus chapter 23, 4 through 8, go through them. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You can find that in Exodus 12, 14 through 28. Numbers 28, 16 through 25. Deuteronomy 16, 1 through 8. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Spring Feast. These are the Lord's appointed feasts. The sacred assemblies. You are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Passover to the Lord begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. So many say, twilight? That's sunset. That's sunset. So many say, no, we're so much ingrained in the Gregorian calendar. And we should get off it when it pertains to God's appointed days, God's calendar, his appointed times. We got to get on his calendar. So right here it says, the Passover to the Lord begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month, which is Nisan. On the 15th day of the same month begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. That is when he went into the grave, okay? Sinless, spotless, unleavened, okay? For 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. I went through this teaching before. That you must eat unleavened bread because a little leaven in this regard is sin, okay? It was him that was sinless, amen? Unleavened bread. On the first day you are to hold a sacred assembly. You are not to do any regular work. For 7 days you are to present an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day there shall be a sacred assembly. You must not do any regular work. Amen. And then we have first fruits where he rose from the grave. On the first day of the week, which is Sunday. It always has to be Sunday, the first day of the week. So we know this happened on Shabbat, okay, the night before. Amen. You must not do any regular work on it. Amen. It all ties in together, which was the seventh day, right? Which was the last day of the week. And then came the first day of the week. So very important to get on his calendar. Verse 42, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. And well, of course, and I put right here a little notation. I said, and well, of course, Yahshua. I like how some say Yahshua, okay? Yahshua, Yeshua, God, the Father, him and the Father are one, okay? Yahweh, Yeshua, Yahshua, Jesus attended the feast of his father. Amen? Note it at the beginning of verse 41. Every year. Also, little did they know that their little boy was indeed the Passover lamb that was to be slain. Amen. So powerful. 43. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it, thinking he was in their company. They traveled on. So once again, my mind was went off somewhere. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Yeshua stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. This is so amazing here. Sitting among the teachers at 12 years old, listening to them and asking them questions. So he was learning. Yes, he was. He was just a boy. He was learning. but he was learning really good, right? That's why it says, train your children up in the ways of the Lord. 12 years old, they should be learning these things, okay? All the way from infants. They should be learning of the holy days. They should be learning of the truth of the scriptures, the holy days, the commandments, his instructions from childhood, because it is a commandment to train our children up in the ways of the Lord. Amen. He was 12 years old. He didn't have to be taught. He didn't have to be. He went. He knew where the truth was. He knew. He went over there and he was asking them questions. It says 47, everyone who heard him. So he was asking them questions, listening to them. He was listening to them, and he was asking them questions. But everyone that heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. You better believe it. He knew Torah. He was the Word, once again, that became flesh. He was the Word. He was Yahweh. He was Elohim. He took on flesh. Amen. The Word became flesh. He dwelt among us, the creator of the universe. Amen. He knew. And everybody was amazed. And his understanding at his answers. When his parents saw him, they were admonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Why were you searching for me? He asked. He says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? They knew. Mary knew, the angels, but they just couldn't comprehend it. It was too much for them. He just took off, right? They should have kept closer eye on him. But anyhow, he says, well, I'm going to go to my father's house. He went on his own, right? Says verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Yeshua grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Okay, Joe, please join me on my next chapter 3. It's going to be also an amazing chapter. Join me next Monday as we continue in the book of Luke chapter 3. I hope this has been a blessing for you as it was for me. I'm just totally excited and just very grateful to be able to bring this presentation to you from the chapter, the Gospel of Luke. Okay, so join us next week for Luke chapter 3. Amen and amen.
I found Jesus, he was holding on to me. I was broken and couldn't stand on my own 2 feet. He said a word and broke my chains. I was free to breathe again. My life was saved by the love and blood of Jesus. When I found Jesus, he was standing over me. I was down and out and living on the streets. And there were times I could have died, sure, but the Lord was by my side. I didn't know it then, but I've been saved by the blood of Jesus.